Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Russia's food safety health watchdog today says that it will lift the ban on imports of pork from the U.S. on March the 10th. The watchdog said U.S. exporters could export their pork to Russia on the condition that they don't use ractopamine in production. Russia imposed the ban on the import of pork from the U.S. in February of 2013. Ractopamine is a drug used as a feed to promote leanness in animals raised for their meat. It is also banned in the European Union and in mainland China. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending February the 20th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 13.4. Next year, 7.3. Corn this year, 33.1. Next year, 0.1. Soybeans this year, 12.0. Next year, 11.6. Also this morning, private exporters reporting to USDA export sales of 284,480 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 13-14 marketing year, and option origin sales of 112,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 13-14 marketing year. Wendy's company said its fourth quarter earnings rose 25% as the fast food chain offset a decline in revenue with lower expenses. Wendy's reported earnings of $33.1 million or 8 cents a share, up from $26.4 million or 7 cents a share a year earlier. Revenue was down 5.9%, but operating expenses were 5.7% lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 1,843. It's down almost 2 points. The NASDAQ, 4,291, down 1.25. The S&P 500 is 1,843. It is down almost 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Sharply contrasting air mass temperatures across the U.S. will likely help to create a winter storm this weekend that will become significant once again for travel across the Midwest and portions of the U.S. plains. The storm system will have its roots in the central U.S. plains. In fact, portions of hard red winter wheat country will finally get some moisture out of this particular event. We'll look for some significant snowfalls out there across Kansas and some immediate neighboring areas. 2 to 8 inches may occur in some of those locations as we move from Saturday into Sunday. Snow will then shift from there into the heart of the Midwest and we'll likely see accumulations running from 3 to 9 inches in a general manner coming out of eastern Kansas and parts of Missouri into Ohio. And we may also see some localized amounts getting up over 10 inches. There'll be a wet snow in some locations. The further north you are in the Midwest, the drier the snow will become. But in all cases, there will be a considerable amount of blowing and some drifting expected, and travel will be hazardous across the region. Sunday and Monday will probably be the most hazardous for travel across the heart of the Midwest. You should expect to see some air travel delays as well as some road closures, perhaps in a few extreme cases. Most of the areas that experience the deepest snow will probably be from Kansas to Ohio. Now, the storm system will produce quite a bit of rain on the front side of the system before the cold air arrives, and the greatest rains will be from the Delta into the Tennessee River Basin and into portions of the Ohio River Valley. A few strong to severe thunderstorms may occur as well. It's a classic late winter, early spring type storm system, and it will have an impact, producing anywhere from 0.4 inches to 1.5 inches of moisture across many areas in the eastern Midwest and portions of the Delta and Tennessee River Basin. The storm system will not produce produce very much moisture in the southwestern U.S. plains, although a little bit of rain and snow will occur in that area. The biggest benefit from this particular storm system will continue to be in some of the western portions of the Corn Belt, where there's moisture deficits still prevailing from last summer in portions of Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. Although we are seeing a good healing tendency across these areas, the storm system this weekend and early next week will just add to that particular change in the pattern. Bitter cold air will remain present over the north central U.S. for at least the next full week. The cold air will be partially responsible for the winter storm that occurs this weekend and into the early part of next week, and it contrasts greatly with some warm air that will be present across the southern states. It looks like the afternoon temperatures today will be a perfect example of the contrast that's going to take place. Temperatures in parts of Texas will be in the 80s and 70s today, and we'll see that heat work its way eastward from Texas into parts of the Delta and the southeastern states as we move forward into the weekend. In contrast to that, afternoon temperatures across the northern plains and parts of the upper Midwest may be held to below zero type temperature readings. We'll expect that to occur mostly Saturday and Sunday. Temperatures this afternoon may be confined to the teens across the northern parts of the Midwest, while the lower parts of the region will see 30s and perhaps a few 40s. Today will be one of the warmer days. We'll look for some warmth to still continue tomorrow, but then the contrast in temperatures will become less significant as cold air overruns most of the region. We'll expect to see sub-zero temperatures working their way southward into portions of southern Iowa, northwestern sections of Illinois, and northern Indiana and parts of northern Ohio, especially following the weekend snow event. The temperatures will not be cold enough to cause permanent crop damage to any of the wheat crop, mainly because the wheat will likely be well protected because of the snow that's likely to precede the coldest conditions. And we'll look for some kind of a warming trend to occur later next week into the following weekend. That'll be the beginning of a period of more seasonable weather. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
There's still time to purchase your tickets today for the 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you call 217-333-7300 and reserve your spots, we'll hold your tickets and have them at the event the day of at our booth as you go in the door. Just give your name and we'll give your tickets to you. 217-333-7300, the number to call. Tickets are $30 each. Includes a continental breakfast, Beef House lunch, 25th anniversary hat, and a full day of agricultural marketing analysis and programming. We hope you will join us. 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 672.5 down 13.5. Soft May 599 down 6.5. March corn 453 down 2.5. December 464.25 down 2.25. March beans 1425.5 up 18.25. November 1175.75 now 0.5 up 6.25. March soybean meal 475.10 up 6.80. March soybean oil 41.25 up 5 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, and on the phone with us to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Beans really took off after export sales today.
Yeah, they sure did. We put in a new high for this move, new contract highs in the old crop months, about 8:30 or so this morning, and really took a nice rally where these old crop beans are up $1.80 from that late January lows that we put in. Even November beans are up almost $1.
So the question is, how far does the rubber band stretch?
I think we're running out of time. Certainly this port snafu with one port down in Brazil mm-hmm. is causing some business to shift back to the U.S. and trying to export some stuff out of the Pacific Northwest. So my guess is that we're running out of time for those things to happen. We've also eliminated, with that talk about the port issues, we've eliminated talk about importing beans into the U.S., and that was kind of a little topic of conversation earlier in the week.
Turn your attention to corn, please.
Corn market continued tensions in Ukraine, I think, has buyers looking at the U.S. again. Ethanol rising prices, improved margins, we're going to continue there. What we've seen on the export buying just recently, Dave, however, with these slightly higher prices is that just the typical buyers, Japan, Mexico, are the ones that are in there really doing a lot of booking. It seems to me with cold temperatures we ought to be supporting corn prices, and we just can't seem to hold things together.
Very quickly, something on the livestock side.
Cattle prices really going to the moon. February goes off the board tomorrow. It's at about a $4 premium to April. We're seeing a lot of interest in cattle. I don't know how long that's going to take. Consumer sticker shock is certainly among us.
Thank you much, Alan. That's Alan Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois, looking at those futures. February live cattle is 150.30, up 165 today. March feeders 172.22 and a half, up 22 and a half. April lean hogs are 103.15, up 212 and a half. March corn 453 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. March beans 14.23 and a half, up 16 and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.